So today we're going to get practical on how to have victory as a minister over sexual landmines. And, I want to talk about those videos. I've shared various videos and I find them fascinating and interesting in how the Holy Spirit works in different people as they are being discipled and sanctified over this area. So here's, without just, taking away from any of the videos and again, enthusiastically receive everything the Lord has given you. Here's some of the things I have found helpful and I have shared in ministry over the years. And some of this will be now restating of what others have said and what I've said earlier, but this kind of sums up this whole mini course. Again, first of all, recognize that you will struggle in this area. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. So, this is your problem, this is my problem, and instead of hiding in the bushes, let's just come out of the bushes and say, this, we care about the health of our soul, we care about the health of our ministry, we care about the health of our marriage, we care about the health of our daughters, our sons. We say the king has no clothes on this, and we are going to say that the world is selling us all a bag of goods here, and I have bought it in the past more than I should have, and I don't want to buy it anymore, and I'm not going to say, oh, this is for somebody else, or I'm not going to justify it. When you see the stats that 90-some% of men have seen or are looking right now at pornography, and 70-some% of women are or are looking right now at pornography, let's just say this is true. This is our problem as ministers, as believers, and we're not running away from it. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, you are responsible for not allowing others to stumble. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do at all for the glory of God, do not cause another to stumble, whether Jews or Greeks or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. And Romans 14, verse 21, it is better not to eat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. You know, that's always been that debate in the early church between Paul and the Judaizers, and on one level, and this, again, relates a lot to theology. On one level, when you're saved, and you will then go on another level for a whole life of sanctification. We see right here, for instance, and understand the theology, the difference between salvation and sanctification in Ephesians 2, verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. But then we see in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body, I just love that, be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we are called to have no one stumble. Even as we work on our salvation with fear and trembling, even as the sanctifying work of God works in our life. So whatever our background is, and however our journey through navigating through the sexual temptations of our life, we do so not causing anyone else to stumble. When we fall, confess our sins. We do so by seriously bringing this to the Lord. But we also do so knowing that the blood of Jesus has saved us. We're set free of our sin. If we sincerely feel sorry for it, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. And may the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit keep changing us so that pornography becomes rare and rare. Sexual sin becomes rarer and rarer. All of those things, just as like any other sin, becomes rarer and rarer. And addiction doesn't even come onto our radar screen because, you know, why do we want to be addicted to anything? And then what starts happening is in this transparent journey of God's change of your life, He gives you more ministry, because in the end He sees that you've sincerely and honestly surrendered this part to Him, and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is occurring. So, boundaries. Let's talk about boundaries. Well, in ministry, do not meet with someone of the opposite sex alone or in ways that create blurred boundaries. I had mentioned in another class that when I first was in ministry, I was challenged by a young woman my age. I met alone. By the grace of God, I ran the other way. Now again, I didn't feel tempted that I would do anything, but what if she would accuse me of some wrong? From that time on, I have not had a one-on-one meeting that I can remember now with the opposite sex in decades. I just believe in general, stay away from that. I just heard of the story recently. My brother told me about a minister who is today 72 years old, and here several women have come forward that he crossed boundaries with them, but he met with them alone. And now his ministry, thought of as fruitful, is no longer that way. And we have other examples of that. And there's too many examples of clergy or ministers violating because they're one-on-one with somebody. I really like this concept of couples ministries in the future for more and more of you. That, hey, just meet together. Don't give Satan a opportunity to even create an accusation. Just put that out there that, you know what, I only meet with my spouse when we meet with someone. And I like it where the spouse becomes a minister, and then both of you might be maybe clergy, and then there's a confidentiality. I think that's a trend that is a very positive trend, and I hope and pray that that continues to grow. Number two, maintain good boundaries, social media, meta, texting, others. You know, texting, when I get texts, my wife can see everything I get. We have our computer set up that way. On the computer, be out into the open. Be transparent. If you fall, be accountable to your spouse. You know, I fell. I looked at pornography tonight. And then create an attitude where, okay, let's pray about it. Let's confess. Hiding in the bushes is not going to help. Ultimately, have a lifestyle where sin gets to be sin, seen as sin. And you go to the Lord and receive His forgiveness. And ask the Holy Spirit that those stumbles become less and less and less. Relating to very much private sexual boundary, address any sexual addiction habit with enthusiastic surrender to God, including gentleness, conviction, and communication. Take joy in keeping the fallen dopamine receptor cycle at bay. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, so restore him gently, but watch yourself that you also may be tempted. This is not a place for us to all go high and mighty, and even if you have totally eradicated all sexual temptation in your mind, be very careful that you don't, as a Pharisee, start thinking that you're better than anybody else. As ministers, we are saved by grace. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in his flesh, but it was a messenger of Satan, but it taught him that he is weak, and when he is weak, then he is strong. In all of our lives, we together are fallen. We together need accountability. Join others in supporting each other in our mutual boundary journey without shame and in victory. Hebrews 10 verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Accountability is a beautiful thing. We're all in this together. We're all fallen, saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Our sins have been taken away. Now, it is about the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. In this area, is not an area where we are defeated in at all. This is an area of victory. And whatever that victory means for you, it could mean that God just totally takes away any temptation to sexual sin. It could be that God has helped you place in your life a strong accountability structure where sexual sin is rare and become even more rare. A strong moderation understanding in your life where you fear the truth that you could fall and that you stay away from the environments that create that. This could be an area in your life where victory can mean different things to each of you, but all of us must take this seriously. Whatever God gives you, receive with thanksgiving. We receive it all together. We encourage each of us together because we know there's an intimacy, a true intimacy with Jesus Christ that's ultimately the pattern of all intimacy. There is a word, the Bible, that shares with us what that intimacy is all about, and this is what we want. And just as Jesus did not stone the woman caught in adultery, in gentleness, we call people who struggled in this area to sin no more, and to help them, to encourage them, and for ourselves to know that Jesus says, come to me all who are heavy laden and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am gentle of heart and you will find rest for your souls. Ultimately, this is about soul decluttering. I have a mini class that I completed on the care and decluttering of your soul. And this is about that. It's about living and ministering connected to God and benefiting those in our marriage or family and those in our ministry that God might be glorified. I want to thank you for being part of this class, and may God bless you as you see how His Lordship is over every area, every nook and every cranny, every synapse, to the dopamine receptors and responders, and that together, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we might be good ministers, able to lead and serve with a clear conscience that God is glorified.